Now, at this point, I would like to dig into a demo. And the demo is, like I mentioned it, about the server message block protocol. Whenever you have a Vista or Win7 computer which has a share, then SMB2 is a protocol which implements your share. So you can imagine this is really an important product for interoperability, and that's why we have chosen this here also for the demo, because it's really modeling a key Microsoft product, huh? With a significant complexity. And that's what the demo will show, and we'll go over these various things which I've talked about. The model I will show is not exactly the same model like we have developed in course of protocol testing. It's a little bit abstracted from that to contain its size and complexity, but still rather complex. And the model is taken like that from the Spec Explorer distribution. You can actually, if you install Spec Explorer, you find under the samples the SMB2 model, and you could play with it. Let me start with a model program. Let me click this together here. Folds this. So at this point, I will not really go into the model code here. I will just show you here is the model program. Then we will play with this a little bit, and then we may get back to the model code. And, but again, so like I said before, I recommend if you want to look at this offline, I recommend to look at the model code after we have done the last lecture, because this model code uses all the bells and whistles of Spec Explorer. But at this point, it can just illustrate what I said before, the general workflow. So I have this model in C#, and the other thing which I have is what we call a CORD file. CORD stands, by the way, for coordination. It's a script which configures Spec Explorer to do certain things with this model program. And again, we will see the details. And what it does, for example, here's the configuration. It declares a couple of actions and a couple of switches which are going to use to build up this model. So the actions, I talked about them before, are the abstraction or the way how we access the system under test, no? So we can maybe look in one of the action code. So when we write here action all SMB2 adapter, what that means is import all the actions you find in the C# class SMB2 adapter and make them available for modeling. And if I go to the SMB2 adapter, we can have a quick look on that one. So let's move down here a little bit. So basically, the actions of the system are partitioned into requests and responses, no? So it's a protocol which travels over TCP, and some of the actions are sending something over the TCP channel, and others are receiving something. And the sending is called request, the receiving is called response, no? So one of those actions is, for example, just the C# method, no? Set up connection and session, which has a parameter which we don't need to look at the details now. It's about the flow control. Then another of these actions is a tree connect request. Now, this sounds strange. What is tree is just the internal name of share. So if you want to access a share via the SMB2 protocol, then the first thing which you have to do is connect to the share, and the internal name of share is tree, no? And then you would find down here in the responses a matching response for this tree connect response. This is a tree connect response, no? Which is the event. So the responses are represented here as events, which comes back from the system under test when the server replies that the connect was successful. So that's just, you know, to see the basic picture. So we have these actions here, and we make them available for the modeling world by this action all statement. Now, the other thing which we have here and are machines. The machines are the core of how you work with Spec Explorer, because for each of those machines, or at least for most of them, you will find in the so-called Exploration Manager a menu item here, a list item, which allows you to do something with the machine. So how should we think about a machine? A machine is like if you look at a make file or something like this, like a target, like a job you can do. The job is explore the model which is described by the machine AllSync. Or you see up here are the activities or actions you can do, AllSync 2 files, and so on. Each of those machines represents a way how we can analyze the model program we have seen and explore it in a certain way with certain parameters. Before we look in detail how that works, let's just do it. No? So we select the first machine and we say explore. Now, Spec Explorer does this exploration job. And the first thing what it does, it validates the model. It looks whether all the things which are found there in the chord configuration as well as in the C-sharp program actually fit together, which was the case here. And then it has generated this state graph. And now let's look at this one. So this actually helps us understanding the model before we even look in the model code. I zoom in here a little bit, and I see that the described behavior starts here with this action. This is an action here, the label of a state transition. Think of that if you think about testing, like a test step. No? At this point, when I go from here to here, I will execute this test step. And what the first thing does here in this particular test, it makes a certain assumption about the state of the system under test. No? So you know this from testing. Before you can actually start testing, you need to be sure that the environment is set up in the right way. And in this case, the assumption is that a share with a certain identifier, in this case with identifier 1, actually exists, which this test suite will not update for you. It will just check whether the assumption is true. If the share would not exist, you would get an inconclusive test error result because you cannot test without this assumption. So now, after that, the actual test or behavior starts, which has been explored here. The first thing is set up connection and session. So before you can do anything with this model, you need to create a connection before you can create a share or do anything else. So the next thing is actually connect to a share or connect to a tree. And again, before you can open a file or read from a file or do anything like this, you need, and that's the logic of the model determines that you need to actually have done this connection to the share. And you will get this event back, and it will be the response that it's successful. That's what the model assumes, that because of the way how the environment was set up, actually the tree connect must be successful. There is only a successful, no error response allowed at this point. Something else which you see here is this captured. And this is about the requirements tracking. And we will see this in the model code soon. So what that means is that when executing this step, those named requirements have been captured by executing this step. And these requirements refer to a table like we have seen before of requirements. Now, some things you can do here, so you can click, for example, on one of those states, and what you see now is a state in which the model is in this particular state S4. So each of these nodes, we don't need to look again into the details, but it's important to understand that each of these nodes here in the graph represents a particular state of the model. And the state is given by a set of C-sharp variables and the values the C-sharp variables have in that given state. Let's go a little bit further here before we actually look in the code. So there are some interesting things here. So this is basically the just tree connect response. That means the tree connect was successful, what we're expecting. And after that, what the model tries here next is to create a file. Actually, it opens. Open and creation of a new file is the same kind of action in the SMB2 protocol. Only that the parameter here is either open or create. No? So it creates or it opens, tries to open a file with a given name which we have configured. And because of our assumption of the environment state, there is no file on that share. So what the expectation is that we get an error response back. And this is the typical situation of this test oracle where we have inputs and outputs encoded in the model. There should be nothing else which should happen in this case, a part of the error response, because the thing is empty. Now in the next step, it calls again this create request, but this time it uses the parameter create, which means create a new file. And this succeeds, because a file of this name does not exist. And now we have created a file in the system, and now things get more interesting, because lots of more possibilities exist now, because we have built up a certain state in the system under test. For example, we can do we can immediately close the file which we have created. Or we can actually try to read from this file, read request, and we're expecting here a read response to come back. And you see this braces here, this square braces means the content is empty. This is actually the content of the read, the result of the read. We have just created a file and there was nothing happening before in our system, so we expect that there is nothing in that file if you read at this point of time. No? So it's again an example of the statefulness. But we can also, actually, I think it happens after we close the file. Let me see. Make this a little smaller that I find this. We can actually write to this file. No, it's actually happening here, sorry. So we go from here to close response, close request, close response. And is this here? Yeah, this is actually the... this is the write request. Sometimes it's not so easy to find it. So in the state where we have created the file, we can actually do a write request. This is a write request. No? So we can write some data on this file. No? And we expect that this is successful. And now, if we now do a read request, the event which we're expecting is to get exactly the content back from the file system which we have written before, which is this data, which is the same like this one. So you see that the state of the system under test is really truthfully captured here in this model. And the reaction of the system to certain action is different from state to state. Now, in one state, the read response will return an empty file, empty content. In another state, after we have written something, it will return actually the content if we have written before. So that's the power of model-based testing, which we see here in action. Now, let's go a little bit into the model to understand a little more what's happening, how we actually describe that. So the idea is, in all the model programs of Spec Explorer, is that you define the state of the system by a set of C-sharp variables, of program variables, global, static, global program variables. And this is a so-called model state here. And we can go over a few of those variables, so it becomes quite tricky at some point. So the first simple variable which we have in this state here is whether we actually are connected. We have built up a connection. No? That's a simple Boolean variable. As we will see later on in this model, as long as we are not connected, other actions like requesting or connecting to a tree or share will not be possible. So this is one state variable. I think this one is quite technically. Let me jump over that. Another interesting thing is the shares. No? So now we are modeling here the state of the file system. And how do we model it? Well, we just introduce a dictionary. So the name map container is the modeling name in Spec Explorer for a dictionary, which takes identifiers of shares or trees and maps them to an object which represents the current state of that share or tree. And initially, this dictionary is empty, Now let's look at the representation of the state of one particular share. Well, it's pretty straightforward. So we have the type of the share, which can be a file or a printer or something else. No? And we have, again, a dictionary, which maps from file names into the content for each of those files. And so the interesting conceptual thing which we learn here, and it's a common question which we are asked actually related to the thing, is how does modeling differ from programming? So you're using C#. Isn't that the same like you are programming? If you see the way how we represent actually the share of a file system here, you clearly see it's not the same as programming, because no one in the world would implement a file system by using a dictionary. Now, so that's the abstraction which we introduce. We don't even care about whether this is persisted really somewhere on a hard drive or something like this. No? So we just have a quite abstract description of the content of that file system, which we construct from the initial empty state during our modeling into some interesting state from which we can test. And we do not care about efficiency. No? We represent the file content just as a list of bytes instead of blocks or whatever kind of many ways so you can do that efficiently. And from this abstraction level, we can usually see that you are at least a factor of 10, one order of magnitude, less complex in your modeling than in the actual implementation, many times more than that. So if you compare full modeling of the functionality to full implementation of the functionality, you will get an order of magnitude reduction in complexity, because you do not care about all those physical details which are relevant for real implementation. Okay, so there are lots of more variables here which are related to this complexity of this model. And one of them, I think in flight, I will come back after I have shown you one of the actions. Yeah, go ahead.
What does it mean for a state to be unique?
Does it mean that all those, like the values assigned to each one of those variables are unique?
Are used?
Either they are used or they have unique values. So if I have two states, and each state has all those values or some subset of those variables assigned to some values.
Yeah.
So does SpecSharp actually compare these two states and say, hey, you have different values here?
It does.
I'm going to repeat the question. Sorry.
Yeah. So the question was, if I have two states, basically two instances of what we have seen of this variable, one has this kind of values and the other has the other kind of values, does the Spec Explorer tool do any comparison of the states? And it absolutely does that. And you see this actually, if you see the cycles here in the graph, this is exactly a result of this comparison. So because you started going this way and you go here and then you go there, and this, the tool figured out when I go back to here, I have the same state like where I started. And that's a very good question. So it's a central thing actually of the model-based testing with Spec Explorer, that this state comparison happens, because otherwise, instead of a graph like we see here, you would always see a tree, no? Where you start from an initial state and every step will create a new state and a new state and a new state, and you will get very quickly a huge explosion of states. And what this question also anticipated, we have looked at the state up to now, but we haven't seen how the state has changed. And that's let's do this now. Let's take the create request, for example. And okay, so the create request is this what we talked about, where you actually open an existing file or create a new file. And it has a couple of parameters, which really the first two ones we should ignore at this point of time. This one is perhaps more interesting. So there is an identifier for the tree or the share in which you want to create the file. There's a create type, which is all these notions like disposition stem actually from the original document. So we are not responsible for that. So the create type is open or close or something like this. And then there is finally the string of the file name. No? And now, what this protocol does, and we will talk about much more about this in the fourth lecture, is it is highly asynchronous. What really happens is you send out this request, nothing happens. It's not like an operation call. No? Now, after some time, the server may respond. No? And that's why what we are doing here, when we send out the request, we don't really actually do anything in changing the model state, a part of the fact that we remember that we have sent out the request. And we remember that by having a model variable which we call in flight. And in flight means, okay, we have put a message on the wire. It's currently traveling on the wire. No? And we haven't yet received a response for that message. So the only state change which happens here, or there are two, but basically the only one is that we add to this variable the fact that we have sent this create request. That's it, no? Now, the entire purpose of our testing is to check whether first a create response actually happens, which is attaching or associated with this request, and second, if it happens, if it has the parameters which we're expecting it should have. And this happens in the second thing here in this rule, which is a little bit more complicated, because what we do here is we get this event, create response, we actually check in some helper message, which I won't show here because we don't want to go too deep in the code, whether we have sent in our in-flight variable, whether we find a matching request to this response. So we have remembered we have sent out the request, the response comes in, now we check, aha, is that actually a response which matches an earlier request in time? And this basically happens here, and it's again a little bit tricky here. One thing which I should mention here, so this is this capture thing where we capture, you have seen on the graph, the requirements, no? This is requirement number 9. And here is again the state update. No? So when we have matched this response, we basically remove from our in-flight list the request which has, for which we have verified now that it actually has matched this response, and basically mark it as processed now. No? And so that's the base idea. No? So we have state updates, and what I didn't talk about this one, and Nico will talk a lot more about this one. We have this condition is true. This is another methodology which we use here in modeling, which tells us in which state actually this rule is enabled. Now, I should say very little bit about the exploration in general. So let me do this on the whiteboard. It's actually very simple. We have the model program state. We have an initial state of it, which is derived from the default value of all those variables, state variables we have defined. No? And then we have a set of methods which have this rule attribute. No? You see a lot of them. Now what the tool basically does, it takes all of those rules and checks whether they are enabled in a given state. No? It basically tries to execute them. Let's say rule number 1, let's make it a little bit abstract, rule number 2. And if they are enabled, if this condition is true, which you see here, evaluates to true in the given state, then a transition will be drawn like this one and will produce a successor state. And also, with each of these rules, there is an action associated, which is the thing which we see on the graph as a label. If the rule attribute, like here, doesn't have any parameter, then the action is exactly the name of the method of the rule. So with this one, we would create this create response. No? Now you can think of, so go over all the rules in my model program, try to apply them in every state, and if they're applicable, if all condition is true, is working, make new states, and continue. No? And now you see what I said before, that would be by default a tree. So it would do that forever. However, there is an important thing here, which is basically it's matching. Let's do it with this one. It's identifying whether it goes back to states which we've already seen. And if this is the case, then we can stop here at this point, exploration. No? If we reach a new state, then we need to continue. Now, as you will see in the afternoon session, if you have a finite number of such states, that we call a finite state machine testing, then this is really straightforward, no? Because we can just let it execute until it's done. If we have a non-finite number of states, then it gets a little bit more tricky, and all the slicing technology and so on, which we will do tomorrow, will come into the picture. This SMB2 thing actually uses the slicing because it has a non-finite state space. Do you have an idea why that's the case, that it's not finite? If we look, for example, at this variable in flight here, and there's a list of requests which have been sent out. So the variable, the list can grow forever. No? So I can, without ever getting a response from the system, I can continue send request, 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 request. And so it's not bounded. No? So you can see the finiteness or non-finiteness of a model usually already if you look at the model variables. If the model variables are just simple enumerations or booleans, then you have a finite model. And it's equivalent to finite state machine. But if there are collections like lists, dictionaries, this kind of stuff, no? So then you have potentially an infinite state space. Go ahead.
So can you just reiterate, what is the difference between a rule, like if that were an action versus having a rule there? What's the difference between the two?
The question is the difference between rule and action, and it's probably about our changing of the syntax. So perhaps you
okay.
want to make it.
Yeah, so this is what you're seeing here is a version of Spec Explorer which will be shipped in a couple of days. And for those which know the current Spec Explorer, we just recognize there is some confusion exactly around your question, the difference between rule and action. And that's why we made it clear that this one is really the rule. You know, so this C-sharp method here is the rule. And the action, you know, if you look at the new syntax, then you will see this is the action which you can which you can define here as a string, and we do it like create response. Now, that's the actual, the full truth, no? So this is the rule, this method, and if this rule is fired, then this action, which is the activity of the system under test, will be labeled at the transition belonging to this rule. And if you don't give this parameter, no, then exactly what we have written here will be automatically generated from the name of the rule. Right? Okay. And I don't know, we probably have later examples why we think it's very important that you can distinguish this, that you can distinguish rule and action. In many models, it's most of the time the same, but we have also quite a number of models where it needs to be distinguished. Oh, actually, I have a model here. I can show you one. I could have shown you this one. So this is how we actually what happens in SMB2 is that every request has a generic error response from the protocol, no? And the action for that is error response. However, I will have a different processing rule for each of the different sources of errors. No? If the create request creates an error, then I have a different rule than when the connect request creates an error. It's always the same action, but the processing rule is different. And that's the situation where we're going to distinguish this.